It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're awaiting a guest.
The Reverend Ezequiel Sanchez from Des Plaines. He is the Reverend at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. Yesterday, he celebrated Mass for the first time since his plane crash about a week ago. And what an incredible story. They did not expect to live through it.
Aeromexico, all of the passengers survived flight 2431 in Durango, Mexico. And there are four more passengers that were injured that have filed lawsuits against the airline.
Right.
And we brought that up before. It's like, I know they, two are sisters. One is a woman who was hospitalized on her return home. Another is a young man who suffered trauma to his neck and back. I mean, they should pay for medical bills, absolutely.
Yeah.
But in pain and suffering, yeah, everyone had it. And trauma, yeah, everyone had it. But, I mean, at some point, aren't you just thankful to be alive?
Very much so. I don't know if you remember this, Wendy. Probably you will. A couple of weeks ago, Rich Lankoff was here, our legal analyst. And we were talking about the lady who, remember last year, the lady who got sucked out of the airplane?
Yes.
A horrible story. So he said that one of the things they decide when awarding damages is exactly how much time was spent suffering and, you know, worrying about what was about to happen.
And how long it took
how
you to
long.
Die.
Yeah.
Which is really
so,
sick to think about.
Without a doubt, if you're on an airplane that seems like it's about to perish, there's all that going through your head, but exactly how much do you award somebody? That's not the main reason we're having the Reverend on. We just want to talk to him about the miracle that, you know, he and everybody else on that plane survived. But you brought it up earlier. That becomes a factor, right? With anybody who's suing the airline or about to sue the airline, I'm sure they're going to say, well, those minutes were the worst moments of my life, thinking I was about to die in a plane crash.
And, you know, I'm not judging anyone because I'm not in that position, and perhaps my views would change if I was the one who went through all that.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for everyone survived. The Mexico City-bound Aeromexico plane went down shortly after lifting off. This was July 31st. It lifted off from an airport in northern Mexico. 49 of the 103 passengers, including Sanchez, was injured. 49 of the 103 passengers. He was treated for several fractures to his arm before returning to Chicago.
Yeah.
So there were injuries.
Without a doubt.
Because a plane crashed.
Right. Very hard to get through that unscathed.
Yeah.
Very hard.
And Sunday was a big day. He was joined by fellow passengers in Des Plaines at Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at some kind of meeting right now.
Right.
So we are waiting for him.
A meeting that is far more important than talking to you and me on the radio.
I don't blame him.
But I asked earlier, and I want to ask him when he's on, we always hear about when somebody goes through a near-death experience, how all of a sudden there's a new appreciation for life, and I can never figure out why we just don't have that automatically. Why does it take something where we go, oh, I'm about to die, to make you realize how amazing life is?
It's just you can't explain it till you feel it.
I guess.
It really is. And again, your spiritual beliefs, I think, take control of you during a time like that. I mean, you've heard people before, I'm not a religious person, but I prayed at the time of such and such. You know, unfortunately, we reach for God in desperate measures, and we should reach for him more often when things are going well.
I always wonder, there is a phrase I'm sure you've heard where they say there's no atheists in foxholes, meaning if you're in the war or a situation like that and you're sure that it's about to be the end of your life, that all of a sudden, if you're not religious, you somehow find religion. I wonder if that's always the case.
Well, it seems like God is always waiting for us to change our mind. And the Reverend is on the line with us.
The Reverend Ezequiel Sanchez from Our Lady of Guadalupe in Des Plaines. Sir, first of all, What a couple of weeks it's been for you, huh?
And how?
Yeah.
To say the least. I'm so happy to be with everyone on this side of existence, so it's good.
Imagine.
We were just discussing the miraculous events that took place where no one died in this plane crash. I'm not a very good flyer to begin with. I can't even imagine the terror that you were going through and everyone else.
Well, sure, those things are always unexpected, I guess. That's why we call them accidents. But when they're in that level of severity, there's only two choices to go. Either go hysterical or try to take a moment to compose yourself and pray. Hope you get through this well. If not, may the Lord be merciful.
Were people lined up by your chair, Reverend, just thinking, boy, if anyone on this plane has an inside track, it's this man right here. I must spend time with you.
Well, not necessarily.
No?
They're more thinking about getting back to work or getting back to their homes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're, for those who knew I was on board, some sort of consolation. You always say you always have to have a priest or a doctor on board. So.
Yep.
So you were back to conducting Mass on Sunday, and how many survivors joined you for that Mass?
It looked like about 7 or 8 kind of joined us. It's something that we all needed. It was my first Mass publicly to in front of the community again, with my way to get to the community, and as you, it's about over 2,000 people came to join us for that particular Mass. We all need healing. We just don't always heal just on our physical body. Everything gets shaken up. And so there's some healing that only happens when the community comes together. And prayer is very much a necessary balm.
You say coming together, you know, it is a miracle that no one perished in that crash.
Indeed.
But the true miracle you mentioned was all the caring that everyone coming together to help one another.
Well, we had the opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of in the actual experience of the plane crash, you can talk about many opportunities for that miracle. For miracles, what we say, some things that are extraordinary. Step in front of you, one was the gifts of the pilot. You could have continued to try to fight the microburst, which would have caused us to be far more hurt or devastated. But his maneuvering of the plane helped us to at least exhaust the momentum. My biggest fear was the plane don't flip. If the plane flips, then we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so that was my biggest concern in terms of the plane. With regard to everybody else, it's miraculous because it was still downpouring on us, and so it's a part that has nothing to do with the plane or the technology. The plane, the rain was coming on us just buckets full, but that gave us precious seconds to get out. The fire did not consume the plane as fast as it could have.
Were you
and
sure?
So,
I'll go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then the final thing I saw as beautiful was a lot of people got out, ran, as we were told, but there was quite a few brave men and women who would not run until they see someone else that they were caring for safe as well. That to me was beautiful and courageous.
Were you sure, Reverend Sanchez, that this was going to be the end for you and probably more on the flight?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, in the back of my mind, all of us, in one way or another, thought that. I'm like, this is it. This is it. We don't know how this is going to end. My fear was I was going to be crushed to death or burned alive, one of the two. These two things are not nice things to think about. So, you know, when people ask me, how was I thinking at the time we were going through this, in the middle of the crash, I said, well, I'd be honest with you, just two things. One, absolve everyone, because that's what I do. I'm not a paramedic. I'm not a firefighter. I'm a priest.
Yeah.
And so I absolved, I asked for the Lord's forgiveness for all of us, and may we be received well.
Just prepare
yourself. What's coming?
And you know, this is probably going to be a biased answer from you, Reverend. but you know, I am. I should go to Mass a little more often. I'm Catholic, but I do believe in God, and I am very spiritual. Was there some point where people at that moment when it looks hopeless that they do turn to their faith? I know you did.
Well, there was a lot of screams for God that day. It wasn't just me. A lot of people were praying just before the more violent, when we knew we were in trouble. Clear people were, of course, when you get to that moment, you're becoming aware, guess what, it's over. And the it's what I was saying in my sermon on Sunday. When you get to the precipice at the end of this life, then the questions of what happens after crush you. And so you have to deal with that question. Will you face him, and what will you tell him? Our faith tells me there's an accounting. Are you ready for your accounting? And those are the questions that kind of haunt us all today a bit. Can I have been a better person? Mm-hmm. Is this an opportunity to be a better person? One of the things that comes out when people ask me, I mean, now afterwards, well, I am so blessed that yesterday was a perfect example of that. How many people express their loving care for all of us, especially for me. I'm so humbled by that. Normally you get that wonderful, these wonderful words and expressions of love in a eulogy.
Right.
Putting you away. But I'm the lucky one that gets it on this side, and it transforms me. It increases my love for the people whom I care so much for. I'm more intense about it, more intentional about it. And so I hope, I pray, I become a better priest, ultimately.
We're talking to Reverend Ezekiel Sanchez, a recent plane crash survivor. I'm sure you know the story, telling us his version of the story. Reverend Sanchez, I mentioned earlier that many times somebody who's had a near-death experience like the one you just experienced all of a sudden has a new appreciation for life. I don't doubt for a second you've always had it, but why does it take something like a near-death experience for most people to just all of a sudden wake up and go, wow, what a gift every day is?
Well, me being a religious person, and all people, if you're in ministry in some form, well, guess what you're dealing with? You're dealing with describing the promise of God, God's promise of life everlasting. Well, if you have a chance to meditate on that at any time, it's less scary. But if you don't think about that, your whole world, heaven is here.
Yeah.
You're kind of connected too much here, then you become aware that there's an entire reality that you haven't really dealt with, and that's the scary part. You're normally afraid of that which you don't know.
That's so true.
That is true. The unknown is what you were fearful of.
Yeah. Are you going to get on another airplane anytime soon?
Oh, I'm not afraid of the plane. I'm afraid of the pilot. Well, I mean, I've had, blessedly, when I was a younger priest and more adventurous, I took some aviation classes. So I'm not necessarily a neophyte when it comes to knowing things about aviation and physics and that goes with it. I love that stuff very much. It's a nice hobby of mine, just personally. But one thing I can say is, you know, when we were taking off, I was wondering, why are we taking off in this?
In the storm?
In the storm. One of my fears, because it's not unique to Mexico, but it happens all over the aviation world, where perhaps pilots may feel too pressured to leave on time or take off in conditions that probably are not optimal. So there's more to the life of a pilot than just deciding go, no go decision.
And I mean, think about it. The pilot does not want to die either. So obviously,
absolutely,
they're not
going to
put their life at risk because, you know, they want to stick to a schedule. So it must have been okay to take off. Just scary.
Yeah, sure. And I don't know what he was feeling, but the one thing that was odd was you have a large storm front coming and you're taking off. So you must have a lot of confidence in your equipment or your abilities, and maybe that got the best of you.
This is a very personal question, but I'm curious. Any nightmares or lingering effects after an event like this?
You think about it a lot because I end up having to relive it and tell the story, which I don't mind. It's kind of therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
But I think I'm less wounded emotionally than my other passenger brothers and sisters. Once again, for me, it's part of, I deal with people's issues of death and dying all the time. This happened to be mine, but here at the Shrine, we get always people who are cancer-ridden, they're getting ready to say goodbye, or begging for a miracle in their own lives, crash victims, immigration issues, you name it. People come to this special place with either the best of times or the worst of times. And so, for me, being a person who had a purpose, so even though I was a member, my arm was broken, well, my priority was to minister to people in the plane crash. So as they were coming out and getting into ambulances, well, the ambulance driver yelled at me, said, would you get in the plane? I'm trying to attend to those that they're putting in.
It's so nice to hear that people were helping other people, because in this climate that's going on right now, I feel like there's not a lot of love going out to your fellow man or woman. So it's nice that people were coming together. Unfortunately, it's in a time of trouble. Why can't we come together in a time of wonderful things?
Well, I'm just glad it happens, no matter how it happens.
I guess.
Absolutely.
But one of the dangerous parts I noticed, and other people have, I read about it, when you're too attached to things, if you're reaching for your bag trying to get out and there's people behind you, that's a bad thing to do.
Right.
You're in the middle. And so happily we didn't see that too much. There was always somebody reaching for something, but get out, get out, get out. Who cares about that? Get out is what the scream was. And I guess people listened to that, and they weren't that attached to their belongings. But when you're attached too much to things, it can be dangerous for you in many ways.
Wow.
We're so glad everyone survived. It does truly seem like a miracle. 49
Indeed it was for me. Yeah.
49 of the 103 passengers injured, no deaths. It's amazing.
Amen. I agree with you, and I'm so glad. When people ask me that, I say, we didn't lose one.
Yeah.
We didn't lose no one. So that makes me so happy.
Reverend Sanchez, like, you know, an honor to talk to you today, and what a story this is, and who will play you in the movie, do you think?
Oh, my God, I have no idea. Don't even go there. God help them. They're going to have to do a lot of hard work.
They'll find somebody. Congratulations on still being here, sir. That's the bottom line, is we're all still around to talk about it, huh?
Well, as I tell my parishioners, God probably said it's time to take him in, but the Virgin Mary stepped up and said, no, throw him back in. He's got more stuff to do.
Perfect.
And continued healing to you and everyone else and your parishioners, because it will take a little while, but it's so nice to speak to you.
I appreciate everyone's caring and prayers, and it really means a lot to all of us. It's great to be for Chicago. I have no idea how much I love being in Chicago.
Love hearing that. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. God bless.
Reverend Ezekiel Sanchez, one of the survivors from the plane crash that took place at the end of July. He said Mass for the first time, celebrated Mass for the first time since his accident yesterday at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Des Plaines. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.